The regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Public Works for today, Friday, September 20th, 2013. I do apologize. I am unaware of who the Bruins are playing tomorrow, or I would make a comment. Do you know, Commissioner Romero? Well, it's more embarrassing that you don't know who the being a UCLA alum. But the Trojans play Utah State, so I'll be out there tomorrow for a little while. Madam Executive Officer.
Good morning. Commissioner Romero, Vice President Rodriguez, and President James are present. We have a quorum. May we have Bureau introductions, please?
Nick Lopez, Bureau Street Services.
Good morning. Barry Bergeron, Bureau Sanitation.
Jim Treadaway, Bureau of Engineering.
Good morning. Chris Smith, Bureau Contract Administration.
Good morning. Ruben Flamenco, Bureau Street Lighting.
Good morning. Ted Jordan, Public Works General Counsel.
Good morning, Arlene Taylor, Executive Officer. We have one speaker card under general public comments and three speaker cards on special agenda item number one this morning.
All right, so we'll move the special agenda item to the end of the agenda. That's on a motion that I made. Moving to the regular agenda. Item number one. By the way, do we have any general public comment cards? I'm sorry?
Yes, we do have one speaker
okay,
card.
Okay, great. Well, let's do that now.
Ms. Judy Alter.
Hello, I'm Judy Alter, resident of Westchester. Please agree to a 30-day continuance for Monday, September 23rd, 2013, agenda item 8, number 3. Of the Board of Street Services, recommending board approve the request for removal by city forces of 11 Indian laurel fig trees known as ficus and 7 bottle brush trees, which have caused no sidewalk damage, for reconstruction of off-grade sidewalks as part of Safe Routes to School program at 7900 to 8300 block of Sepulveda on the east side. Tree replacements are required, CD 11 disposition. I'm requesting this continuance because I need time to educate the community about this tree cutting action and prevail on you as newly appointed board members to consider the harm caused by cutting trees because that action diminishes air quality. I urge you to set a policy of saving trees and include in your cost considerations the cost to our health. The trees on the west side of Sepulveda were cut down last year and early this year, although community members thought they would be preserved and meandering sidewalks installed. Steve Poera has written to each of you about the troubling process of the tree cutting on the west side. Members of the YMCA at 80th were very upset when the trees were cut down. They didn't know this was going to happen. I understand that no environmental impact report was conducted and that the city itself self-exempts the projects from CEQA studies. I cannot understand these omissions. Please do not cut the beautiful ficus trees on the east side of Sepulveda Avenue. Just fix the sidewalks. They're two separate issues. Arborist Lance Oishi with the Bureau of Street Services determined that the soil on Sepulveda does not retain enough water and thus the roots spread widely. There may be ways to solve this problem. Do not cut the trees to repair the sidewalks. That's 2 minutes. Can I give two more paragraphs? We need
up?
The trees.
You can have one more minute, ma'am.
We need the trees for their beauty, their shade, their habitat for animals, insects, and birds, and their vital role in preserving our air quality. Trees help retain vital moisture and cool our neighborhoods. They provide a carbon offset converting CO2 to oxygen so essential to life. Trees absorb the toxic pollutants from cars. We living beings need all the possible tools, especially our trees, to prevent further rising temperatures and the dire increases in levels of CO2 in the atmosphere of our planet. Caltrans is handling these sidewalk repairs as part of Safe Routes for Schools. On a hot day, would you want to walk on repaired Sepulveda sidewalks without the cooling shade canopy provided by our well-established mature ficus trees? With the level of pollution and noxic fumes spewed from traffic on Sepulveda, would parents let their children walk on Sepulveda even when the sidewalks are fixed? To educate the public, please grant me my request for a continuance for agenda item 8 for Monday, September 23rd. Thank you.
Thank you. That takes us to our first. Are there any more public speaker cards on general comment?
No other speaker cards for general comment. Okay.
Then we will close general public comment. Let's move to approve the minutes from September 4th, 2013. Is there a motion? Commissioner Rodriguez moves. Is there a second? Commissioner Romero seconds. The minutes from September 4th, 2013 will be approved. That takes us to the first agenda item for today from Bureau of Engineering and the Contract Administration, requesting that the mayor authorize the board to execute proposed personal services contracts with the following firms to provide pre-qualified on-call geotechnical and environmental consultant services: GeoSynTech Consultants, Group Delta Consultants Incorporated, Shannon and Wilson Incorporated, Tetra Tech Incorporated. And they request that the board randomly select the names of the additional firms to append to the PQOC Geotechnical and Environmental Services, the Specialized Geotechnical Services, and the Specialized Environmental Services Consultants list for use in the future assignment of work. Are there speaker cards on number one?
No speaker cards.
Hey, do we have a representative on number one?
Good morning, Mr. President, commissioners, bureau representatives, Mr. General Counsel, and Madam Executive Officer. My name is Chris Johnson with the Bureau of Engineering. This report concerns addition of four consultants to the pre-qualified on-call list for geotechnical and environmental services consultants. Consultants on this list perform soil engineering and geologic studies in support of capital projects, civil engineering design. They perform environmental site assessments and remediation of contaminated soil and groundwater at city sites. Back in December of 2012, the city executed contracts with 11 firms in response to a request for qualifications. The Bureau is recommending that from the original 24 firms that responded to this request, that an additional four firms be added to that list of 11, bringing the total to 15 firms. The additional four firms selected are based on evaluation of their qualifications, technical approach to the work, management approach to the work, and their compensation structure. In the 9 months since the existing contracts were executed, approximately $3.9 million of work has been awarded to the 11 firms through approximately 40 task orders, and each firm has received work on these contracts. The original RFQ indicated that the city may form a list of as many as 15 firms. And based on the initial 9 months of awards of work to these contracts, BO believes there is sufficient work to maintain a list of 15 firms. As with the original 11 firms, the four additional firms will be subject to minority business enterprise participation of 12% and women business enterprise participation goal of 2%. I can answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
So did you say that the 11 firms, you indicated that 40 task orders were issued. Did you use the 11 firms at the, within the $3.9 million worth of task orders?
Yes, all firms were utilized. We awarded approximately 40 task orders. We award task orders that are both large and small. Large ones come to the board for a board approval. Smaller ones under $100,000, the board has delegated authority to the city engineer to award. Combining the small and large task orders over the last 9 months, total is $3.9 million. Every firm has received at least one of these task orders.
And can you explain for me, like, for example, Geotech Consultants, all their subs under that, you have done a review of the subs, or how does that work?
Right, Office of Contract Compliance performed, reviewed the good faith efforts submittals of all the consultants, and all the consultants that we submitted or recommended for selection have passed that effort, and so contract administration has authorized us to enter into a contract with them.
Great, thank you.
Any further questions from the board? Is there a motion to
adopt? Are we ready to conduct the random drawing?
Before we do that, we get to have the process of randomly selecting. I thought we might have to adopt first, but apparently we're going to randomly select first. All right, well, now I cannot possibly do it as the president of the board. Why don't we? I do see, oh no, let's have much more fun than that. I do see a student from the Pepperdine School of Public Policy who has made their way back into the boardroom today. Frankie, do you have a moment? Oh, come on up. Complete transparency and fairness here at the Board of Public Works.
At Geosyntec Consultants is number one. Group Delta Consultants is number two. Tetra Tech Incorporated is number three.
Well, that would mean I can predict number four.
Shannon and Wilson.
Frankie, thank you. Is there a motion to adopt agenda item number one?
So moved.
By Commissioner Rodriguez with a second, by Commissioner Romero with the ayes, number one will be adopted. Thank you. Moving to agenda item number two, Office of Accounting and the Bureau of Sanitation is requesting board approval and execution of an authority for expenditure in the amount of $130,000 to pay the State Water Resources Control Board for annual waste discharge fees at Terminal Island Water Reclamation Plant. Are there any speaker cards on number two?
No speaker cards.
Okay, we have a representative from sanitation. Yes, sir. Come on up.
Sir,
my
name is Adonis Obeni, and I'm representing Terminal Island Water Reclamation Plant, and I do crave the indulgence of the board to approve item two, motion one, that is a disbursement of fund to the state to the state for the permit to operate in the treatment plant as far as wastewater discharge is concerned.
A couple of questions for you. The request is that we encumber $130,000 for the remainder of the fiscal year. Do you know approximately how much we spend for these annual fees? Is it right at $130,000? Is it a little less than $130,000?
No, okay. What is it? For last fiscal year, which ended in June, okay, the plant spent a total of about $180,000. About $180,000.
Okay.
So this initial request is meant to satisfy the first invoice that comes from the state. So as time goes on, there are going to be other invoices, you know, that will increase the amount of total amount that's supposed to go to the state. So from time to time, the state does generate invoices and then send it to the plant, and then we'll comply by paying those invoices. So this is like the initial request. It's an annual, we have a 5-year permit, okay, that goes back to 2010. So for each year, we are required to pay permit fees.
I suspect I know the answer to this already, but I'm going to ask, since I know that these fees typically are always going up, but are there any, given that we're the city of LA and that we have the positive record that we do, are there ever any opportunities to negotiate what the city pays in the way of fees? And are there any incentives such as we give to businesses, for example, Anheuser-Busch that we just dealt with a refund to them because of their positive record. Does that opportunity exist between us and the California State Water Resources Control Board?
Well, if I may state, I believe the state does have a process, you know, something similar to this, where there's a public hearing, you know, and, you know, if there are comments, you know, from the general public or the different agencies, I believe different agencies are welcome to come in and make their comment, just like you just said, maybe fee reduction and stuff like that. So there's an ongoing process. But the fact is, we have a five-year permit. So chances are we're locked into those 5 years permit. And then I went to the previous fee schedule for the year 2011, 2012, and 2013. All of, in the fee schedule, our fees are consistent, so there's no increment.
I guess maybe my question might serve better as a comment. To the extent that there is an opportunity for us to rely on our excellent record and the great work that we do,
yes,
that I'm confident that the Bureau of Sanitation takes the opportunity where it's available to save the taxpayers money on these kinds of fees, correct?
Yes, sir.
Great.
Well, you know what? Maybe when our permit comes for renewal, because every 5 years, you know, we have to go in front of the state, you know, and then plead our case for renewal of our permit, maybe that may be the best time, you know, to request for a fee reduction, you know, that would be beneficial to the city. But right now, I believe we're logged into our five-year permit, and we're obligated to pay these fees.
Great. Understood. Any other questions? Is there a motion to adopt agenda item number 2? By Commissioner Romero and Commissioner Rodriguez with a second. Agenda item number 2 will be adopted. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Moving to agenda, have a nice weekend. Moving to agenda item number 3. Office of Accounting and the Bureau of Sanitation again requesting board approval and execution of an authority for expenditure in the amount of $104,840 to pay the State Water Resources Control Board for annual waste discharge fees at Los Angeles Glendale Water Reclamation Plant. Any speaker cards on number 3?
No speaker cards.
Okay. Is Michael Ruiz here?
Good morning, Mr. President, Commissioners. Superintendent for the not only the LA Glendale Water Reclamation Plant and then also DCT Tillman Water Reclamation Plant. And the fees is what the gentleman was before me is the same thing. The permit for the Los Angeles Glendale Treatment Plant, it's the annual fee for the NPDES, National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit, and we also have a stormwater permit included in there also.
Same questions that I asked last time, without having to go through them again, maybe I'll just summarize. Do we have an opportunity, first of all, can you give us comfort that we're not paying late fees?
No, we're not. We're not
okay,
paying late fees.
So you can give us that comfort. Great.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, might there be an opportunity for us because of our very positive record with this regulatory agency to appeal to that record and the ability to maybe in the future get a break for the LA taxpayers on these fees?
The gentleman before me kind of summed it up. There is opportunity. They do announce when they're going to increase fees, and they do, you know, set up meetings for us to, you know, come up and attend them.
And we take that opportunity.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just want to say, Commissioner, I think it's a good point. I think it would be good to identify how much we pay to the State Water Board and also to the Regional Water Board, and then figure out as a total as a city, and then figure out if we can maybe have more negotiating power at that point if we know collectively how much we pay. So we can get an itemized list of that, then I think that's something we should consider doing.
Right, well, that's a road we'll explore with the Bureau as a board. So thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
By the way, is there a motion to adopt agenda item number 3?
So moved.
By Commissioner Romero, a second by Commissioner Rodriguez. With the ayes, that will be adopted. Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Moving to agenda item number 4, the mayor has approved and returned for further processing personal services contracts with Hoffman Southwest Corporation doing business as Professional Pipe Services and with the National Plant Services Incorporated to provide sewer condition assessment using closed circuit television inspection services. And speaker cards on number 4?
No speaker cards.
Mr. Martinez.
Good morning, Mr. President, commissioners, executive management, representatives, and general counsel. My name is Carmelo Martinez. I'm with the Bureau of Sanitation. This is an administrative item. The mayor has approved in return for further processing two personal services contracts, one with Hoffman Southwest Corporation and the other one with National Plant Services. And this is essentially for sewer condition assessment, what we call CCTV inspection of the sewer system. It's whereby we have a small camera inserted into the sewer and essentially inspect any problems that the sewer may have, any structural defects, the debris, roots, et cetera, et cetera. CCTV inspection is an extremely valuable tool that we use to basically predict any immediate problems that the sewer would have or identify urgent situations that may arise that require either the sewer to go through an emergency repair to avoid a spill or to avoid a backup into somebody's home. So it's a wonderful tool that we use, and it actually greatly benefits the environment and also the public health. The city is required by the settlement agreement to inspect about 600 miles of sewers by CCTV inspection. This is what we call the, it's called a collection system settlement agreement. And we even have the need to inspect the sewer system even beyond the settlement agreement. Once the settlement agreement expires, there's always a need to provide this very proactive service that we utilize. The current contract with Hoffman Southwest expired. We currently are using a task order solicitation to perform CCTV services. However, that task order solicitation includes a pretty significant markup so that if we can award these two contracts, we can avoid paying this markup, which is about 7 or 8%. The term of the contract.
Mr. Martinez, just yes, so sir. I'm clear. You're saying that by the execution of these contracts, we're avoiding a markup?
Correct. Through the task order solicitation.
Okay. Please proceed.
Yeah. So the current term of the two contracts will be for 2 years. I'm sorry, 3 years. And the contract ceiling is $5 million per each contract. The contract complies with all the city policies and complies with all the ordinances. As far as the business inclusion program requirement is concerned, it was recognized that CCTV is a highly specialized services and the opportunities to subcontract are quite limited. Nevertheless, we did request 5% for MBE and 2% for MBE as part of the subcontractor outreach. The two vendors did adequately perform the subcontractor outreach, and they passed all the requirements. However, because of the nature of CCTV services and the difficulty in getting subcontractors, they weren't able to find any subcontractors that could participate, and the city staff essentially verified all that. The last item that I have is the status of financing. We have adequate money identified to perform this service for this fiscal year, and for the future fiscal years, we go through the usual budgetary process to obtain funds to be able to conduct this work. And if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Any questions from the board? Commissioner Romero.
Can you explain for me how this is different from the contract that came before us, like on our first, in our first 2 weeks, that had kind of cameras and it was a contractor in New York?
That was a slightly different process. That was that's for a supplemental agreement. And unfortunately, the way it was supposed to work is the supplemental agreement was supposed to be executed first. But the way that it worked out is essentially both the contract and the supplemental agreement hit the board around the same time. So it doesn't make sense to complete the process for the supplemental agreement. So that is going to be canceled. So that's what the board heard the first time you guys came on board.
Thank you for the reassurance. I was going crazy when I was reading the staff report. Like, I've read this before.
Understood, yes.
Okay. Late at night last night, I was like, oh, I think I already read this before.
Yeah, that was for a different process. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So just to confirm the concern raised by Commissioner Romero's question, we're not duplicating work here.
Absolutely not, no.
Commissioner Szabo.
So who's doing the work right now?
I'm sorry?
The work is being done right now by?
It's being done by Hoffman Southwest through the task order solicitation.
And that began, so the prior contract expired on October 7th, 2012?
Correct.
So it's
yes.
been?
Yeah, we were able to do CCTV after the contract expires in a number of ways. We had an authority for expenditure, but you know, that has a limit. And then we were successful in getting the task order solicitation, I believe back in May of this year. Yeah.
May of 2013?
2013, correct.
Was the completion of the?
I believe the completion of the task order is for August of next year. But once we get the contracts executed, we will terminate the task order solicitation.
When did the RFP process conclude? And
okay,
were the recommendations forwarded?
Yeah, the RFPs, the recommendations for the RFPs was what was to award the two contracts to the two firms that I previously mentioned, Hoffman Southwest and National Plant. We received the RFPs. The proposals were scrutinized and thoroughly checked. We conducted interviews. There were three proposals that were received. The third company that submitted an RFP is called Advanced Sewer Technology, AST, but they were essentially bought out by Hoffman Southwest. So the way that it worked out, they were truly only two firms that submitted the proposal. So we decided to increase our flexibility, it's better to have two vendors. So we went with the two vendors.
And did that also put the city in a more advantageous position in terms of negotiating price?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, how long have we been on the temporary task order?
Since May of this year.
Since May of 2013.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Martinez, it's $5 million for the entire 3-year term. So we're looking at about $1.65 million a year, give or take.
Okay, that the $5 million, that's
the ceiling.
That's the absolute ceiling.
Right. You're anticipating my question, what are we spending roughly?
We generally
annually
spend about $1.2, $1.3 million a year.
Okay. Yeah. Really spend that on closed circuit, huh? for these 600 miles, or is it beyond the 600 miles?
Currently, we're doing about 450 miles per year. And, you know, you may ask, well, how come we have to meet 600 miles and we're only doing 450 miles? The answer to that is, in the past, we've done over 600 miles, and we, under the settlement agreement, we are allowed to back miles. So when we do 450 miles, what we do is we draw from the bank 150 miles and bring it up to 600. So the settlement agreement gives us that flexibility to do this kind of creative financing things.
Understood. Any further questions of Mr. Martinez on agenda item number 4? With no further questions, is there a motion that we adopt agenda item number 4?
Move.
Okay, Commissioner Szabo, it was seconded by Commissioner Romero. Mr. Martinez, is there any reason that agenda item number 4 needs to be forwarded forthwith?
No.
Okay.
I can't think of anything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving to agenda item number 5. As soon as I find my agenda, I'll tell you exactly what that is. Great Western Building Materials has transmitted a stop notice in the amount of $22,025.01 against Family L Plastering in connection with the Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens Rainforest of the Americas project. The contractor is Metro Builders and Engineers Group Limited. Is there a motion to receive agenda item number 5? By Commissioner Rodriguez, second by Commissioner Szabo. Agenda item number 5 will be received. Regarding agenda item number 6, moving all agenda items forthwith, item 5 does not need to be moved forthwith. Agenda item number 4 does not need to be moved forthwith. I neglected to inquire of our presenters whether agenda items 1, 2, or 3 need to be moved forthwith. They are authorities for expenditure. Is there a motion either way from the board on those items being moved forthwith? I'll make a motion that for those three items, since they are authorities for expenditure, agenda item number 1 was not. Mr. Johnson is not here. So in an abundance of caution, I'm going to move that agenda items 1, 2, and 3 be forwarded forthwith. Is there a second on the motion? We do. Is there a second on the motion? Okay, by Commissioner Rodriguez. With the ayes, those items will be moved forthwith. Moving to the special meeting, it's a supplemental agenda item number 1. And it's an agenda item that I made recommending that the board reconsider its action taken on September 6th, 2013, adopting a motion to revise the policy for all time and material work initially adopted on March 14th, 2003, and review, consider, and possibly revise, revoke, suspend, or reapprove the policy. As I stated in my motion, I was unable to attend the September 6, 2013 meeting due to other city business. In addition, it was brought to our attention that potential stakeholders wanted to be heard on this issue, and it is for those reasons that I have brought the current motion. I understand that we have 3 speaker cards on this item, and Madam Executive Officer, I might just request that regarding the 3 speaker cards, that we allow them, unless they've already informed you in which order they would prefer to go, let them make that choice.
They have.
Okay, thank you.
Wes May.
Good morning, President James and Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name is Wes May, and I'm with the Engineering Contractors Association. And I'm going to speak about all our contractors, although we have two representative contractors to speak a little bit more in depth about this motion. A lot of times, the cheapest price isn't the best value that can be brought to the city. And this particular issue tackles, quote unquote, a loophole where A regular bid contract might have a certain price for a foreman in, quoted in that price, but when it comes to time and material, there's an artificial limit that this motion would put on that person. And these impact operating efficiency, the length of experience that that person has, and what they can bring to the table to increase operating efficiency, reduce costs, and bring a better value to the city. And our contractors are going to speak in depth. Subject to your questions, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. If we have questions for you, Mr. May, we will let you know.
Mr. John Williams. Elizabeth Torres.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, Madam Vice President, Commissioners, Bureau Representatives, and Executive Officer Taylor. My name is Elizabeth Torres. I am the current public agency's chair for the Engineering Contractors Association and also the liaison for the Ad Hoc Committee, a quarterly forum that discusses ongoing issues with the contracting community. On September 6, 2013, a revision to the time and material policy was presented to you that the Engineering Contractors Association strongly feels is a breach of both contract documents and contractors' rights. This amendment affects current contracts held within the City of Los Angeles and the contractors who hold a 5-year contract on emergency work with the city. The time and material policy modification will essentially nullify rates in the contractual agreement. As explained to you, the policy is department-wide and was initially developed with the contracting community back in 2003. However, the present changes to you were not developed with the community. They were offered as an item not listed on the agenda in the final moments of the previous meeting held just a few weeks ago. In fact, in the contractors forum, 3 of the 5 contractors present expressed concerns with the change and had asked that we be notified that when this was amended and brought to your attention so that we could explain our stance. Unfortunately, we had not been informed that this was going to be an agenda item until Monday, September 9th, when it was already approved. Contrary to what was explained to you, the loophole was not discovered by the department on its own, but rather brought up by the contracting community as a potential breach of current contracts when a few of the contractors were denied their rights to pay their employees above the prevailing wage. The prevailing wage policy implemented by the unions are a mere baseline for determining the hourly wage of labor. However, the unions will agree that the baseline at any given time can be elevated based on several items, such as performance, commitment, knowledge, experience, exposure to the agency, field of work, dedication, education, etc. An example of this may be an employee who may have been working for a contractor for 15 years who's shown leadership, dedication, and other irreplaceable skills that may be rewarded by the contractor for their commitment in the form of hourly compensation. The new policy states that the contractor will only be reimbursed for the rate determined by the union, which essentially means that whatever trade he or she may be have shown exceptional leadership in will only be compensated for the amount the union has determined solely based on a trade and or trade level, not based on loyalty or dexterity. Just as any employee of the City of Los Angeles who works themselves up in the rankings would be compensated for such achievements, the contracting community is no different. The format implemented within the City of Los Angeles when it comes to compensation is no less than the ways the contractors conduct business. We are most certainly no less of a business than this agency itself and want to do all we can to work in partnership with you guys to come to a resolution. Here's the downside to the proposed policy. In a low bid contract, the contractor may assign its most knowledgeable crew to a City of Los Angeles project. The crew may work together for several years, showing exceptional chemistry and an understanding of the industry. However, if the contractor comes across a change or differing site condition and will therefore need to be compensated for the difference on a time and material basis, the reimbursement will be based on what the union has determined, not based on how the contractor has decided to conduct business. So an unforeseen change that requires reimbursement will not be fully compensated, therefore resulting in a loss for the contractor. Another downside, contractors will be forced to put their least expensive crews in the field to assure there is no loss of revenue. What this means for the city is a potential loss of production, knowledge, time. or ability to react to critical changes, et cetera. A contractor is not in business to lose money, so we will do all that we can to make sure that there's no monetary loss. At the very least, I'm here to explain that we firmly believe this issue should be discussed in depth and made sure that it's not a breach of any legally binding documents. It's important the community is well informed and kept up to speed on an issue which truly affects our overall revenue and projected income for the years ahead. These sort of significant changes to such policies will not only affect how we do business, but how we prepare cost proposals to the city moving forward, which determine the level of personnel we will assign to your project. After all, we will not be able to send out our most knowledgeable projects if we're knowledgeable employees to your projects if we're also losing revenue while doing so. Thank you on behalf of the contracting community.
Thank you. I may have a couple of questions for you in a few moments, but we'll hear from the third speaker and from the Bureau.
John Williams, Jr.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is John Williams, Jr. I'm Vice President of Williams Pipeline Contractors and President of Engineering Contractors Association. I'm gonna speak to three specific items on this. In the resolution says that we are to pay the prevailing rate wage and no more. We pay some people over the prevailing wage because of their knowledge. In a contract situation, when we come on a change condition, the crew we have on site, if we're paying them more than the prevailing rate and we can't pay them more on the change condition, they're the one that's most knowledgeable, most efficient, and most able to deal with that situation rather than bring in somebody else that pays less. As for your T&M contractors, the one for the emergency repair work, we would like to bring our best people on it because these are by nature unknown, difficult to deal with situations. They will have the contacts and experience to deal with it the best way. We've been called out at midnight on holidays to take care of these kind of things where the ancillary services are not readily available, but we've been able to handle it because of the experience of our crews. As a solution, the loophole simply stated means that there are some contractors out there that will jack up the rates for their people just for T&M work. As a proposed solution to this, we would like to say that contractors, and most of the contractors we've talked to will agree to this, to provide certified payroll from contract work or from other projects showing that we're paying this rate for this particular person and we're not jacking up the rates for just for the T&M work. Most of the contractors we have deal with and you deal with are honest, but there are some that aren't. And we want to help you police the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, we may have some questions for you. Do we have a representative from the or from BCA? Yes.
We do. Mr. Bradley?
Good morning, Mr. President, Commissioners, Bureau Representatives, Mr. Jordan, Ms. Taylor. As previously stated, in 2003, the Board of Public Works instructed BCA to develop and present to the Board for adoption a department-wide time and material policy to ensure that allowable costs be accurately determined using a consistent policy and procedures. Together with the other bureaus in the Department of Public Works, we came up with a policy, and on March 14, 2003, the Board adopted that policy. T&M is used for emergency work and when the price for work cannot be agreed upon prior to the start of work, and it's necessary to use this method of determining costs in order to keep the work moving. On February 11, 2008, the Board amended this policy, which allowed for us to pay for general foremen and superintendents who were directly involved in the actual work on emergency jobs. It also allowed us to pay for engineering services provided by contractors directly involved in emergency work. And we did that at the request of the contracting community because several of the smaller contractors have foremen who actually go out and actually perform physical work. So we thought that was fair, and we allowed that to be paid for. And this policy applies to all contracts awarded by the Board of Public Works, whether it be a contract awarded on a DOT job, a Rec and Parks job, or a public works job. This is a time and materials policy. Whenever time and materials used on any cash contract or emergency job, this is the policy that's used, and it's a universal policy for department wide, so that nobody can misinterpret or develop their own way of determining time and material. The original language of the policy called for no ceiling on labor costs. we basically said, we're going to pay you your actual cost based on your certified payrolls. A contractor could conceivably say that in order to get this work done, he has to pay somebody $300 an hour, and we would pay that if that's what it said on their certified payroll. Recent issues at LAWA regarding consultant contracts have communicated a grave concern to everyone in the city over excessive compensation. Are you really paying these people for what they're doing, or are you paying them whatever, you know, they demand? In drafting this motion, we didn't want arbitrary numbers or labor costs. So we came up with we think that would have caused confusion and we'd have had inconsistency in the program. So we chose a standard, which is the state Division of Industrial Relations prevailing wage. We said that's what the state has said that this work is worth. That's what we set as a standard. Recognizing that some contractors like to pay their foreman a little bit more in order to quote unquote keep the good people and to supervise their crews, we said, okay, we'll go to the master labor agreement between all the trades and we will allow the foreman markup per the master labor agreement. And that's what we had asked for each respective trade. I will make one comment on the earlier speaker who said that if we do this policy change that we're in violation of the contracts for emergency sewers. That's absolutely untrue. In the RFP for emergency sewers, it clearly states on the rate sheet that the contractors are required to turn in that they're supposed to turn in prevailing wage per DIR-DLSR. Okay, that's what they're supposed to turn in are prevailing wages. That's the wages that originally were supposed to be paid. So, recognizing that some contractors pay a little bit more, we're not opposed to setting a ceiling for a premium for foremen higher than the master labor agreement. We're not opposed to that at all. Some of the wages, the labor rates that we've been given are ridiculously out of proportion. We have been given rates as much as almost double what the prevailing wage rate is for foremen for performing certain tasks. As an example, I just brought a few examples, and most of them for an operating engineer foreman, the actual cost for an operator foreman is somewhere in the neighborhood of $71 to $74 an hour, and we've received rates as high as $130.85. We just feel that no one can justify that kind of rate, regardless of whether that's what they're paying their people or not, because it should be noted, and I don't know if it's been brought up to the board or any members of the board. Labor on time and material the contractor gets a 20% markup on whatever their actual labor costs are on time and material work. So that means if you're allowing 50% more for the actual cost of a laborer, then the contractor is actually, you know, helping themselves by getting that 20% markup on labor. We're not opposed to anyone making a living or keeping their people working, but I think there comes a point where we have to recognize that some of the things that we're being asked to pay are just totally out of whack.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. I might take the prerogative of being the chair to ask the first few questions because I sense and make a few comments. I sense from the presentation from ECA, the ECA reps, as well as Mr. Bradley's presentation, that there is an opportunity for a further compromise. I do have a question for the city attorney. I'm pretty confident that the nature of the question is going to be one that is going to have me requesting more time to deal with this. We have what seemingly seemed like an argument that on its face made sense, that there is the potential for retroactive effect that could be interpreted as possibly a breach of contract, with what was responded was met with a response that might be an explanation to the problem. But given what we have before us, I can't make a determination on what I'm hearing. Am I making a reasonable interpretation, Mr. City Attorney?
Given the issues raised and the response, we don't necessarily feel that there's a problem contract-wise, but it would probably assist me to have a little bit more time to take a look at the contract language in detail, along with all of our general conditions and the RFP process. As you can imagine, you know, our contracts, there's a lot of material in there. And so given the importance of this issue, I think my recommendation would be to let us take a look at it and present to you a more detailed answer. And invite the Contractors Association if they have anything further they'd like to elaborate upon, since they're making both policy arguments and legal arguments, that we'd be happy to receive any of their comments in writing as to those legal arguments. As to the policy arguments, those are for you to decide.
I don't want to step into with a change of policy, and one of the reasons I made the motion I made is I don't want to step into a legal trap, that I or we were unaware of, and maybe we're not, but it's, for me, it's, I can't make that determination yet, although I presume that we wouldn't have initially, but it does take me to the next question, because that Mr. Bradley did not address. Mr. Bradley, I may ask you if you could step up. I have a couple of questions for you. There was a statement made by one of the representatives from ECA that when the ad hoc committee took place, that this topic was not agendized at that ad hoc committee, and it was added. The impression I got was it was added at the end of the meeting, and there wasn't the amount of time that we might like to have had in that circumstance. Is there a response from BCA regarding the process at the ad hoc meeting?
That is correct. You're correct. It was not on the agenda. And at the end of the meeting, I brought it up and asked for comments and told them, and I made the statement that when it came before board that I would let Mr. May know, and I failed to do that. I dropped the ball on that, and I didn't notify him personally when it was going to come to board that Friday. So did they have enough time? I guess if they said they didn't, they didn't. I'm not sure how long it was, 6 weeks or something, to discuss it among themselves. But I did not personally let them know that it was coming before the board.
Another question, Mr. Bradley, regarding the statement that they made about certified payroll. You seem to respond. I just want to make sure I'm clear on it. There was an offer by, Mr. Williams that in order to avoid, because I recognize what you're doing and agree that we don't want the taxpayer to be overburdened by some potential price gougers out there, and that the opportunity for abuse exists, and even Mr. Williams addressed that and said that there's no doubt that there are some contractors out there that are willing to abuse the city and the taxpayer, but hopefully for all of our sake, that's the extreme minority. We don't necessarily know sitting here right now. But as a way to remedy that, the offer was made to provide, and a way to weed out some of these that might abuse the LA taxpayer, there was an offer that they provide their certified payroll of prior jobs. You responded that, at least I sensed from your response, that might not be as good of a stopgap measure that it was being presented as earlier. How do you feel about that?
Mr. President, all the certified payroll does is verify that the contractor actually paid the labor force what they state that they're paying. It's just a way of verification. If a contractor pays a labor foreman $700 an hour and it says so on a certified payroll, that still doesn't make it right. That we have not had a problem within the emergency sewer program with there being a discrepancy between what they've asked to be paid and what's been paid on T&M and what the certified payroll state. But again, it's just all the certified payroll is a verification. It doesn't prevent a contractor who wishes to do so from charging us an outrageous amount of money per hour for someone that their competition, quite frankly, is not charging us. You know, we have a number of contractors that are involved in our emergency sewer program, and almost every one of them is charging the same amount of money within $2 or $3, and the way the labor rates work, it could vary that much depending on a person's experience or what grade or level of classification they are, and then we've got, you know, one that wants to be paid twice that much money, and that's what we're trying to prevent. I'm not arguing that someone may be paying somebody $100 an hour. What I'm arguing is, it's not fair to the other people that are in this program who are getting paid prevailing wage, which is what the program calls for, and they're not attempting to, you know, come before you and say that I have to pay this amount of money in order to keep this person. To me, that's ludicrous. You know, I mean, in this economic time, I think that someone that gets to go to work every day and get a paycheck is happy that, you know, they don't have to be paid twice as much as everybody else in order to maintain work.
My final question, and then I'll open it up for the other board members. I sensed from both of you, from both sides on this issue, a willingness to work together in a way that hadn't happened up to this point, thus my motion. And I also understand that there is an existing ad hoc committee where the parties get together and meet on presumably somewhat of a regular basis. So is my sense right that not only do we have the willingness to try and find an agreement or to come to more of an agreement, and we have the avenue within which to do so already in place?
Absolutely, Mr. President. BCA doesn't have a dog in this fight. What we're trying to do is we're just trying to make sure that the taxpayer gets what they pay for, and they're not allowed to be gouged. We're more than happy to sit down and work out a compromise on this. And I would also like to note that this is the people that came before you today. They do bid on other sewer work, SSRP work, and they're not just strictly in the emergency sewer program. But I would also like to remind the board that this policy is on other work.
And sorry?
This policy applies to other work other than just sewer work.
Yes.
Okay. And I think it's important that if we're going to reach some kind of compromise on something other than prevailing wage, that we include the other contracting associations and builders groups in the city of Los Angeles to discuss this, because it's going to affect them too. On the other programs, basically we pay just prevailing wage. That's it. So if we're going to pay more than that, I would suggest that we include everyone else.
We may not be able to get to the compromise. You and the other bureaus may come back with the existing change that we saw already. I recognize that. What concerned me was that we didn't seem to have the kind of that personally I would like, the kind of back and forth through the ad hoc committee, and even I certainly don't feel comfortable enough myself to make a vote on this policy yet. I realize I was out that day, given everything that I've since been told. So my motion would be that, well, before I make a motion, why don't I let other board members speak up and ask questions if they have any, in addition to what we've talked about already thus far. Anybody else? Commissioner Szabo.
So is the is this generally used for emergency work that where we would grab the contractor from a pre-qualified list, or is this emergency work that would be done on an existing contract that was already awarded through a process?
It could be either one, Commissioner. What we're talking about with the ECA is work that's emergency sewer and storm drain work, where we may get called out in the middle of the night to go fix a sewer where we've got sewage flowing. The time and material policy itself is a policy that's used for time and material work on any contract, and it could include a cash contract where we've got a contractor that's already established on a site. We run into unforeseen conditions, or we run into something that we need to get done immediately to keep the job working, and there's either a failure to reach a negotiated price, or there's not time in order to do those negotiations. And if that's the case, we'll ask the contractor to do it on time and material, and we'll keep track of the hours and the material used and pay them with their specified markups. So it's used in both of them. And is there a chance for exorbitant prices being charged? Yes, there is.
So I guess my question is, couldn't this be, as opposed to having a blanket policy which strictly limits the compensation, couldn't that be something which is discussed as part of either the RFP process, that if a contract is to be awarded, or the process by which we select the firms to be on whatever pre-qualified list that we're talking about? Why wouldn't that be part of their economic package, that we could then assess whether they get the bid or get the contract or get on the list?
It could be either one. It could be either one. And also, the motion that I brought before the board, that motion we can amend that motion to amend the policy to state that we can state whatever the board wishes. We could make it specific to emergency sewer and storm drain work, that because of the nature of the work and the fact that, you know, these contractors are called out in the middle of the night and to mobilize and come out and work, that we could pay X amount of dollars above prevailing wage for that service and set a ceiling at the amount that we would allow. Mm-hmm. Something like that could be done.
Okay. So, yeah, I have no more questions, but I agree with the president's recommendation that we discuss it for a while before taking the vote.
What I would do then is move that we suspend the implementation of the new policy that was previously voted on by the board with a report back, if I could request one, in 45 days. Does that give, do the parties feel like that gives them time? Okay, Mr. Bradley?
What I would request, Mr. Sure. President, is that the executive officer, Ms. Taylor, schedule an ad hoc meeting with the contractors, so that, and with this as the loan specific agenda item, so that we could discuss this among everyone that has a stake in it or has a voice. And that way, when we come back with a report to you, it would be a complete report.
I understand that the executive officer is the chair of the ad hoc committee. Am I right, Ms.
That's
Taylor?
Correct, and okay. Commissioner Davis attends.
And Commissioner Davis attends, okay. And he's unfortunately not here today, so everything cries out for a little bit more time. And is that something that you could do, Madam Executive Officer?
Of course. Okay. I'll need assistance in reaching out to contractors who don't currently attend the meetings. Okay. You said there are other categories that...
Sure. Yeah, I'll be on vacation for the next, starting next Friday for 12 days, but then when I come back, I can... We'll start on it next week, and then I'll... we'll get that together.
Commissioner Zabel.
Just a clarification. Are you moving to revoke the amendment which was voted on September 6th, or?
I'm moving to suspend it.
Okay.
To suspend its implementation. And with a report back in 45 days, but the suspension will be, indefinite to give us a window of time. And if we'll know, and certainly the agencies will know, if we're able to reach an agreement, then we'll come with a revision. If they're not, then they'll come with implementation or reinstatement.
So in the meantime, that remains the policy of the city. It just won't be enforced. Is that?
Yes.
Well, as I understand it, the policy will remain. It's just that the amendment to the way we charge labor rates will not be amended as of.
Right. The net effect is the old policy is okay. is still in effect.
Okay.
The new policy has been suspended.
Okay.
For the time being, and we have a report back in 45 days.
Not a problem.
And that would be my motion. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it, just with the clarification that not the new policy be suspended, but just the amendment which was made on September 6th be suspended.
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. That clarification is accurate.
So yes, that was a second.
With a second, with the ayes, first of all, any opposition? With the ayes, that will be adopted. Thank you, everyone, for your participation in this. Anything left on the desk?
No, that clears the desk.
And with that, we will adjourn this meeting with the exception of the management meeting that will take place immediately following this meeting in the board conference room. Have a great weekend, everybody, and congrats to the Dodgers.